Good morning. How's everyone doing this fine Friday? Here we are, we're moving into chapter 35. And this one is about the prophecy against Mount Seir. And it's actually mostly about, it's interesting they use the term against Mount Seir. It's not against the mountain itself. Well, I guess in a way it is, but it's about the people who live there. And I was going to talk about them a little bit. And so let's start with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for the time we get to look into your word. And thank you, Lord, for the insights that you give us out of your word. It's just exciting, Lord, so much that you allow us to see into your world and to see into the future by looking through the past. And that's really enjoyable, Lord, but also very, very helpful to understand you and get to know you better. And we appreciate that so much. Oh, looking forward to that day to reign under you and to be with you and be with you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me take care of that. Sorry about the phone, Lord. But I end off. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Satan's got to put his little injection factor in there somewhere. I'll call that person back. At least turn the volume down so it doesn't happen again. Important to note, when you're giving a class, make sure you turn your cell phones down. prophecy against Mount Seir. And Mount Seir is actually a mountain. It is. And let me get all this stuff out of the way and I'll show you a picture. And that would be Mount Seir. And it's in to show you where it's at, it is down in an area known in this time frame as the Edom area, as Mount Seir. You see it in the sort of in a range of mountains. And the general people we're going to be talking about today is actually the Edomites. And that's what God is talking about when he talks about the prophecy against Mount Seir. Get a little bit better picture of where the area of Edom was. Very fascinating place. It's also known that they had a city there known as Petra. And Petra is where a lot of us believe is where the Jews are going to flee to. But as we're going to read here today, is it's an area that was decimated back during this time frame and never has been inhabited again. And here's some of the ruins that are there now. Big tourist attraction. I mean, some really nice architecture. But when God says a place is going to be deserted, he means it. So I'm not showing you these pictures because God said it back here in Ezekiel, and it happened. So these are all the different views of Petra. And that's Mount Seir that is built in the valley of. So there's Mount Seir, and so let's get into the actual study. It's a short chapter. I'm going to do the whole chapter tonight or today. And Ezekiel 35 is only 15 verses, and so we'll start right off, verse 1 here. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, gotta admit, that's Ezekiel's style. He always seems to start off a lot of his chapters this way. I just realized something. Son of man, set thy face against Seir and prophesy against it. And I got to make one quick change. I moved the computer I was using to the church, and oh, is it fast? It's going to work out great for the church. And so I've had to set the older one up to be work it here at home. And I thought I got all the bugs out of it, and I missed one. So let me fix this real quick. Shouldn't take too long. Thank you. So has everybody got exciting plans for the weekend? Okay, this is working weird. Oh, I know it's wrong. Okay, I think I got it fixed now. Okay, now I got it fixed. Okay. A few little hiccups in the electronics, but Mount Seir. And so Mount Seir goes back all the way into Genesis. And it's the original story of two brothers, Esau and Jacob, and they became they were twins actually, and one actually followed the Lord and became quite as part of the lineage that led right up to Jesus Christ, and Esau's brother kind of went in a different direction, and so much so that God actually used the word hate when it comes to the Edomites. And so the Edomites are descendants of Esau. Genesis 32:3, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Over it's Genesis 36:9, and these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. So here we tie all the different words together. Also, Joshua also talks about it in 24:4. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. So this is and Isaiah 34:5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Edomia is another term used in conjunction with when they were in Petra. They were forced out of Petra during this time frame, and they actually just moved. They moved basically west, and they ended up being more southerly from Jerusalem rather than the modern day of Judea. I mean of Jordan. They moved into the area that's more tied to. I don't know if it actually showed it on one of those maps. I showed you a map of that, a little bit more modern one of that area to show where they moved to. Oh, here's one. Yep. That kind of goes a little bit vague. You see the kingdom of Judea right there, and right below it is the kingdom of Edom. And they started out on the east side here, over more in Jordan, and they moved more towards the west in their later years, and even into the, and where you see the review, into that area, and changed their name to the Edomia. And so it, some people get confused as to whether if they're the same people or not, but they are. And one of the interesting notes about the Edomites is that they were considered, the Romans, when they took over, thought that they were actually Jews. And so they thought they were doing a good thing by hiring, by putting into power the Herod family, which were Edomites, because they were, but of course they were despised by the real Jews because of their history here that we're going to talk about a little bit. So let's see, moving into verse 3. And I said unto it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most. And I guess realize too that I need to fix that too on This is a really trial area with the let's see, reference. Not the reference. There we go. And the, see, that would be the vertical position. Not that one. Reverse. Almost done. All kinds of little adjustments in these different programs. That's a little bit easier to read. I'll play with it more later. Hopefully you can see it okay. Okay. On my against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. 35:4. And I will lay the cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Over in Joel mentions it also, 3:19, Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judea, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. The basic story of what happened is that during this whole time frame, whenever there was so much hatred between Esau and Jacob, right from the womb, we went through this a while back when we were talking about the Edomites. And God is, and this is a future prophecy that God is going to proclaim against the Edomites. And so even though this is more of a future prophecy, it's because of this hatred that God is going to punish them, even up to, and most people, at least I believe that most of the, when you hear it even now, that the people you hear saying that they want to destroy Israel and remove them from the map, you hear it all the time, is actually probably descendants of the Edomites. Now it's kind of hard to formulate, because you might hear different stories as to what happened to the Edomites, that they were wiped out way back then. But it's interesting that here we're looking at a chapter where they're actually still, God is still talking about the future and what he's going to have done to the nation of Edom. And then you look at places like, the West Bank, particularly Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip is almost the general area where the Edomites ended up moving to. And so it's kind of symbolic that the two areas that Israel has the most trouble with today are actually ancient enemies of Israel. And the Edomites is one of them, along with Ammon and a few others. But the Edomites were really bad. There's some verses in here that just make you cringe as to how God feels about them. They're just evil. The definition of evil, I guess, the best way to put it. Also over in Malachi 1:3, and I hate Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Wherein Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of the wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. When God says forever, that's forever. That's a scary thought, to have God mad at you forever. Okay, verse 5 of chapter 35 in Ezekiel. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Sith thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. So God is going to basically punish them the same way they punished the Israel. They were involved with all the major times that people were trying to, like they were in cahoots with Nebuchadnezzar to try to help him to take over the people. And we got over in Isaiah 63, talks about this. 1 through 6. Who is this that cometh? This is a prophecy of when Jesus is actually going to be coming out of the area where he's going to be. This is during the tribute, you know, when he comes back to take over for the millennial kingdom. This is a prophecy of that. So, but you notice the terminology he uses. This is why we believe that the ones that escaped Jerusalem at the desolation of the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation are going to flee to Petra. And Petra is what I was just showing you the pictures of. And we base it on this verse here because it talks about Jesus coming out of that area full of blood. And that would be the blood of the enemies of Israel. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? That is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and for the people there was none with me, for I have tread them in my anger and trampled them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury had upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring them down their strength to the earth. So that's a bit of a prophecy of the of Jesus when he finally lays judgment on the people, the enemies of Israel. Okay, back to Ezekiel 35:7. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. And I will fill his mountains with slain men in thy hills and in thy valleys, and all thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with the sword. Remember we were just talking about there in Isaiah. And I will make thee a perpetual desolation, and the city shall not return, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, this is all in reference to Mount Seir or the Edomites. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine and will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. Now, when he mentions the two nations here, it's actually talking about these two separate kingdoms of Israel, and that would be Israel and Judea, and that they're going to be combined into one at this point in time. And that's why it's futuristic. And the two nations that talked about was Ezekiel 36:5. We'll get to that next. Probably next week we'll start in chapter 36. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residual of the heathen, and against all Edomia, which have appointed my land into their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. And we see this this particular talked about in Psalm 83. And I personally believe Psalm 83 possibly happened, and it's been happening, basically in the wars that have already happened in Israel. Some people believe it's still future. So I'll just leave it at that. But let's just say it's, I think it probably happened mostly having to do, and if you read through Psalm 83, it talks about a war, and this writer is Asaph, which was part of David's folks. That he was actually the one of the leaders of the music for David's. David had quite a bit of like choirs, I guess. So Psalm 83, you probably hear a lot about that, and it's about a war that I kind of can see where it happened in 1948 and then finished up in 1967. Maybe spread out even a little bit more in a couple of the other wars that happened in Israel. You can make your own assessment when you read Psalm 83. But here's a few verses here that apply to this time frame. And these would have been prophecy in Ezekiel's time. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederated against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and of Ishmaelites of Moab and Hagarenes. Now, I won't read the rest of the psalm. You can go ahead and go read it. It's not a really long psalm. It's like 18 verses. But it goes on to talk about, I mainly brought it up for this here, where it talks about Edom. And that this particular prophecy seemed to have taken place in modern times. So that kind of gives us an indication, too, that the Edomites are still in existence. So this is the tabernacles of Edom. That's why I brought it up. And talking about the Lord of, let's see, we're in verse 10. You can write some verse here. It says, whereas the Lord was there, over in Ezekiel 48:35, that's way at the end. But we'll talk, that's when he's going to be ruling and reigning in the temple. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. So that's talking about the new Jerusalem. The new temple is going to be built during the millennium. So I just threw that in there as a little teaser about where we're heading. Okay, Ezekiel 35:11. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thy envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all the blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. Now God is reminding them that he knows what the things that they've done. And so he's going to, ultimately, that they're going to be judged for it. And some verses that talk about the herald there, where it talks about the that heard, I heard all thy blasphemies, is mentioned over in Zephaniah 2:8. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. And talking about blaspheming over in Isaiah 52:5. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away from naught, and that rule over them, make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Okay, back to Ezekiel 35:13. Thus with your mouth ye have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. Talking about rejoicing, over in Proverbs 17:5. Well, first I got, when the whole earth, I'm sorry, when the whole earth rejoiceth, but let's talk about the whole earth in Isaiah 65:13-14. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. That's how the end of Isaiah, so it gives us an indication that this may be a kind of an indication of God protecting his own during the tribulation in Petra, and that the cities around them are going to be trying their best to attack them and destroy them, but God's going to protect them. And I think that's a little bit what they're saying here in Isaiah. Now, talking about the punishment of the Edomites and Edom, the whole book of Obadiah is dedicated to talking about this particular people's group. So Obadiah 1:12, picking out a couple of verses. But thou shouldst not have looked on that day of thy brother. This is the reason that God has such a hatred for them. But thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judea in the day of thy destruction. Neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Also in Obadiah 1:15. It's only one chapter in Obadiah. So verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee thy renewal shall return upon thine own head. So God's judgment is going to be against them. They never repented. They never turned from their evil ways. And it was all the way from all the way back to when going all the way back to when they were children, Esau and Jacob. Okay, Ezekiel 35, 15. As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And just a few verses to on this topic, talking about rejoicing, and why you shouldn't, over in Proverbs 17:5. Whosoever mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. So don't be careful about speaking evil against those that have misfortune. We're supposed to pray for everyone. God loves everyone, which not so sure about the Edomites, but he loves everybody else. And I think it's more about the Edomites as a nation. I think individually there could be saved Edomites. I had that discussion with a person one time, and they just were adamant that God wasn't going to save a single Edomite, no matter who they were. And I said, as far as I can tell, God will save anybody. No one is. But usually when the Bible talks about a people group like this, they're talking about the nation itself, not necessarily each individual person. But I could be wrong. Okay, Isaiah 34, 5 and 6 also. For my soul, sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood, is made fat with the fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And also in Lamentations 4:21 and 22. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that thou dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee, and thou shalt be drunken, and shalt make thyself naked. Usually whenever the Bible says that somebody is made naked, it means that they've exposed all their sins. It's going to say that in this verse. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. So here the Lamentations, they're talking about Edom is going to finally receive their punishment, which will against the daughters of Zion, which was against the Israelites. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sins. That's what basically being naked means in the Bible. Not literally naked. Well, I guess there is one case where it was talking about literal nakedness, but in a way it was kind of the same thing too. So that's what I had for today. And a little short chapter. And we will continue in chapter 36. Getting into the future now. This is all talking about the future. And even though some of it could have already transcribed, we're going to see coming up, particularly in be Ezekiel 36 and 37, with the Valley of Dry Bones. Now that's in process right now. So be fun and interesting to see how far along in those chapters we are in this current day. So, and with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this time. Thank you, so Lord, so much for this time that we're able to look into your word and get a little more insight into what we're looking forward to in the future. And that, so I was listening to one person tell me today, Lord, it was such a blessing to hear that part of the reason I think that you had us told us so much prophecy, and it's 100% true, Lord, and thank you so much that it verifies the Bible for us. It's proof positive that the written word was by your hand, and we praise you and thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Yeah, as I was listening to a conversation today of a couple of pastors talking about that prophecy really is proof that the Bible is true. They were talking about the upcoming rapture and the fact that there's over 300 prophecies between of the Lord's second coming, and that the Lord's first coming, there was about 105 prophecies that were fulfilled. 100% of them were fulfilled, and how there's an additional 300 more about his second coming, which includes the rapture and the whole period of time between the rapture and the second coming, when he comes back to build his kingdom. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. But that, so that it's the prophecies of the Bible that kind of prove that to us, that the Bible is true. And so I think it's important to study this so we can see that what did happen was 100% positively true. That's kind of what I, what my aim is here. So again, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you Sunday. And I actually may see you if you're going to be in church. If not, on the live stream, I'll be talking to you from there. And I will come back for the Bible study next Monday. Have a great weekend.